بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد We continue learning about the upright and noble guidance and manners and the daily conduct of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we have seen many affairs with regards to eating and drinking. And we continue with the issue of the manners and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in drinking. And the issue that we want to discuss now is the issue of drinking while one is standing. Drinking while one is standing. Is that permissible or is it not permissible? Or is it from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Is it okay sometimes? Or what is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to standing while drinking? Let's look into the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's see what his companions learned from him, radiallahu anhum. Let's see what they were upon and what he taught them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have a narration from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, and he says, أنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه نهى أن يشرب الرجل قائما. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he prohibited that a man will drink while he's standing. He prohibited that a man will drink while he's standing. قال قتادة. قتادة, he is from the تابعين and he is from the students of Anas. رضي الله عنه قتادة ابن ديامة السدوسي. He died in the year 117 from the great scholars of hadith. And he was a student of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. He says now, فقلنا لأنس. So we said to Anas, فالأكل. Okay, what about eating? Here Anas is telling his students and from them قتادة رحمه الله تعالى that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم he prohibited from a man from standing while he is drinking. And then so he says to him قتادة, he says, okay, what about eating? قَالَ ذَلِكَ أَشَرٌ. Anas, he said, that is even worse. That is even worse. And this is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim. That is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim. Here in this narration, we see that it says, نَهَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ أَنْ يَشْرَبَ الرَّجُلُ. The Prophet prohibited a man from standing, يعني قائماً, to drinking while he's standing. Is that okay for a woman then? So the word rajul doesn't necessarily mean only a man. Even for example, many times in the book of Allah, he would say, Ya ayyuhu ladina amanu, O you who believe, talking to men. But the women are included. And the women are included. And this is a good benefit that we can understand. That with regards to the rulings, and with the halal and the haram, and with regards to the manners of worship, and that which is permissible and impermissible, the man and the woman and the boy and the girl, they are the same. They have the same rulings. That which is permissible for a boy is the same that's permissible for a girl. That which is permissible for a man is the same that which is permissible for a woman. And likewise, that which is impermissible for a man or a boy is also impermissible for a woman or a girl. They have the same rulings. The way that a man prays is the same way a woman prays. The way that a man gives zakat is the same way that a woman gives zakat. So on and so forth. It's all the same. This is the origin and the foundation. But there are certain evidences that have come to clarify that the woman is different in certain issues than a man. Or than a man, the ruling is different in certain issues than a woman. For example, the obligation of attending the Jumu'ah is for men and not for women. It's for men and not for women. And there are other also issues as well. But we see here, in general, the rulings are the same for all mankind, male and female. What is clear or apparent in this narration that it is impermissible. It is impermissible. Now to stand while drinking and that eating is worse. This is what is apparent from the narration of Anas found in Sahih Muslim. But in order to understand properly the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, we never look at one narration, nor will we never look at one verse and determine the ruling from there. And the way of the people of truth and the way of Ahl Sunnah is that in order to understand the evidence properly and to understand the issues in the deen correctly, they will look at all of the evidences in a particular issue. For example, the issue of standing while drinking. Huh? Will we look at one evidence or will we look at all of the hadith with regards to this? We have to look at all of the hadith. Because maybe there are other evidences that indicate something different. And this is the case with regards to standing while drinking. It has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu that he says, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَشْرَبُ قَائِمًا وَقَاعِدًا. He said that I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drinking while he's standing and while he's sitting. I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drinking while he is standing and while he is sitting. This is narrated by At-Tirmidhi. And it is an authentic narration. So now we have the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that it's not permissible. Don't do it. And then we have the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it. How do we understand this? How do we understand this? We have another narration. Also from Ibn Abbas, another narration now from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that he says, سَقَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ مِنْ زَمْزَمْ فَشَرِبَ هُوَ قَائِمٌ مُتَّفِقٌ عَلَيْهِ. That verily I gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a drink from Zamzam and he drank it while he's standing. And the hadith is مُتَّفِقٌ عَلَيْهِ. What does that mean, مُتَّفِقٌ عَلَيْهِ? It's in Bukhari, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, in Bukhari and Muslim, meaning it's the most authentic type of narration. Naam, so here Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, or radiallahu anhuma, he says that, verily I gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a drink of Zamzam and he drank it while he's standing. And he drank it while he is standing. So here we have again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he's standing and drinking. He's standing and drinking. Likewise, it has been narrated from Ali radiallahu anhu, that he was in Al-Kufa. Al-Kufa is a town in Iraq, and it was very famous in the early days of Islam. And there was a great amount of Muslims there in that area, in Al-Kufa and in Basra and Baghdad. These are all in the country of Iraq now. And it was a great land of knowledge and the likes like this. And many of the companions were there. From the companions that went to Al-Kufa, Ali radiallahu anhu, and he was there, and it's mentioned that he was at Babu al-Rahba, any one of the gates there that is famous, and there's many people there for shariba qa'iman, and he himself, he drank while he was standing. وَقَالَ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَعَلَ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي فَعَلْتُ. This is narrated by the Bukhari. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he stood up in front of his companions, in front of the Muslims there, and al-Kufa, and then he took a drink while he's standing. And then the people are looking at him, and maybe they think that this is not permissible. But he wants to teach them that it is. So he says to them, verily I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing the same thing you saw me doing just now. And he saw him like this, doing the same thing. Another narration by Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He says, "Kunna ala ahdi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam na'kulu wa nahnu namshi wa nashrabu wa nahnu qiyamun." Rawahu Tirmidhi. Ibn Umar, what's his name? Radiyallahu anhuma. Abdullah, who is his sister? Hafsa radiyallahu anha. Who is her husband? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, what does he say? He says that in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to eat while we were walking and we used to drink while we were standing. This is narrated by At-Tirmidhi. So here we have a situation where we see that in some of the evidences there is a mention that it's impermissible. In other evidences there is a mention that it is permissible. So the ulama have different manners to deal with the likes of these narrations, and we will not go into detail about these affairs. But if you want to learn how to deal with the likes of these texts, there's a special science you have to learn to study. Anybody know what that science is called? If there is a hadith that are, really there's two sciences you have to study, but one of them specifically. If there is one hadith that says to do this and the other hadith says you can't do that, the same thing. One says do it, one says don't do it. How do we understand these evidences? The scholars, they have sciences. They have types of knowledge in order to learn how to deal with these texts and to derive the proper ruling. The two sciences are Mustalah al-Hadith, first and foremost, in order to understand whether, because maybe, for example, we'll say, well, in this narration it says you can do it, in the next narration it says you can't do it, but the people who have the knowledge of Mustalah Hadith, they'll look into the change and they'll be like, oh, well, that one's a weak hadith. This hadith is not even accepted anyways. So therefore, the other hadith is the proof that the hadith that's authentic is the proof, and the one that's not authentic is not a proof. Because the only thing that is a proof in the Deen of Allah is His book, and it's all authentic. And there's no need to check for authenticity. But as for the sunnah, that some of it has reached us in a manner that is authentic, and some of it has reached us in a manner that is not authentic. So therefore, we have to learn this science in order to determine that. As for the case, if they're both authentic, how do we deal with them? We learn how to do this, and the science called Usul al-Fiqh. Usul al-Fiqh. And these are very, very beneficial knowledges, and it's sciences. And they are called ilmu al-ala, or ulum al-ala, the sciences that are called tools. We use these sciences in order to learn how to understand and to deal with the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. Who would like to learn Mustalah Hadith? Who would like to learn Usul al-Fiqh? Oh man, these are very, very, very beneficial sciences to learn, and it's very fun to learn them. But I give you glad tidings that we will study them together with one condition. Inshallah, we will study, I will teach you, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, Mustalah Hadith, and also Usul al-Fiqh with one condition. That is that you learn the Arabic language. If you learn the Arabic language, we will begin immediately, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. After you learn the Arabic language, we'll begin immediately, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. These are sciences that you have to learn Arabic first, and you learn them in the Arabic language. So therefore, be diligent to learn the Arabic language, and inshallah, we study Mustalah Hadith, and we study Jarh wa Ta'dil, and we study about Asanid and the Mutun of the Hadith, alhamdulillah. And also, we can study Usul al-Fiqh and the likes, but that would be in the Arabic language, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So I mentioned that to encourage you to learn the Arabic language, to give great importance and concern and time to learn the Arabic language, and money and whatever it takes in order to learn that language, so that you continue to advance in knowledge and to increase in understanding in the deen, and by way of that, in righteous and good actions, drawing you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To summarize, we just mentioned some of the statements of the ulama about this issue. We have a statement, don't do it. It's not permissible to do it. And Anas, he says that even eating while standing is worse. And then we have some other statements like Ibn Umar, he said, we should do it whenever the time. We would eat while we're walking. And we would drink while we're standing. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing it himself. And even Ibn Abbas, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did that when I gave him the zamzam and he drank it. There's many different interpretations of this issue, but just to summarize, if we look in the book of Riyad al-Salihin, for example, where many of these narrations are collected, and we have been benefiting from this book to present these issues. He has in this chapter, Babu Bayan Jawazi Shurbi Qa'iman. And these are evidences that clarify that it's permissible. It's permissible to stand while drinking. وَبَيَّنُوا أَنَّ الْأَكْمَلُ وَالْأَفْضَلُ الشُّرْبُ قَاعِدًا. So these narrations, they clarify that it's permissible for somebody to stand while they're drinking. But it's better and more complete, and it's closer to that which is correct, and it's better and gooder. You awake? It's better and more good for someone to sit down while they're drinking. To sit down where they're drinking. So for example, if somebody did not have any need to stand and drink in the lights like this, then he will sit down. He will sit down, and that's better. But if somebody was in a situation where they need to take a drink or the likes, and it's hard for them to sit down, then it's permissible and no blame on them if they drink while they're standing. But the best guidance and the more complete manners is to do what? is to sit down and to drink, and to sit down and to drink. Now, I'm also from the ulama of our day who have mentioned this, Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. But this is the chapter title that Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi, he mentioned in the book, Riyad al-Salihin, right here with these narrations. This chapter is with regards to clarifying that standing while drinking is permissible, but it's more complete and more virtuous and better to sit down while drinking. To sit down while drinking. So therefore, we should learn and make it a custom to ourselves that when we drink in the likes like this, we do that while we're sitting. But we should also know that there's ease in our deen, and that our deen is all comprehensive, inclusive for every aspect of our life. And if we're ever in need to drink while we're standing, because we're on the go, or because it's a difficult situation, or whatever the situation or circumstance we may be in, it's allowed. It's allowed. But we shouldn't just become accustomed to always drinking and say, oh, it's permissible. But rather, we know it's more virtuous to sit down. So therefore, a believer, he always tries to do that which is more virtuous. To do that which is more virtuous. And that is here in this situation, to sit down. There are many issues that we should discuss with regards to the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his daily affairs. But in these classes now, we're just taking a little bit at a time, from here and from there, from the most important of the issues. We have another topic to discuss. We have another issue that we want to learn about, something different from eating and drinking. And this is with regards to yawning. At-tathaub. To yawn, in the Arabic language, that's the verb tathaaba. يَتَثَاءَبُ تَثَاءُبًا أَتَثَاءُبُ is to yawn. From the complete and perfect guidance of Al-Islam, and from the clarification that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given great concern for His creation, and clarification on how to live according to what He likes, and what He has decreed subhanahu wa ta'ala, what has come with regards to yawning in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has been narrated from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَتَثَاءُبُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Yawning is from shaitan. Why? Why do you think that? أَتَثَاءُبُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Where does yawning come? What is somebody feeling like whenever they're yawning? Tired, lazy, they don't feel like doing anything. All the good stuff that is around them that they can be partaking in and learning and enjoying themselves with, they're passing that up, and they're letting that go, and they feel lazy and they don't feel like doing anything beneficial. This is why it's from shaitan, because he wants to try to stop a person from doing good. Even if he can't cause somebody to do bad, he will stop them from doing good. He will stop them from doing good. You understand that? Shaitan is the enemy. So if he can't even make us do haram, he will make us not do good, not do anything at all. Is that bad? Yeah, not even, because you know why? Because we're going to die someday. And then in the end, our deeds are going to be weighed. So this is our time, and this is our time in our life that we have an opportunity to do good deeds. Because every day there's many bad deeds that happen from us, because of our negligence and our forgetfulness, and we don't show enough thanks for the blessings that Allah gives us, and the likes like this. So we have to do good deeds. So if we're not doing any deeds at all, we're not getting any good deeds, and our bad deeds are just piling up. So therefore, it's not good to be lazy. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to seek refuge with Allah from being lazy. A'udhu billahi min al-kasal. He used to say that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from being lazy. Being lazy is somebody, he has the ability to do good things, but he doesn't do them. He doesn't do them, he just sits down and doesn't do them. He has the ability to memorize Quran, he doesn't do it. He has the ability to learn hadith, to learn the Arabic language. He has the ability to strive to excel in knowledge. He has the ability to help out in the house, around the house and with the family. But he just lays on his back and sits around and yawns. That's called laziness. This is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek refuge from. So here, at-tathaubu min ash-shaytan. From this aspect, yawning is from ash-shaytan. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives guidance now. فَإِذَا تَثَاءَبَ أَحَدُوكُمْ فَلْيَرُدَّ مَا اسْتَطَاعَ. So if one of you starts to yawn, then let him try to prohibit it as much as possible. Let him try to stop, to prohibit it as much as possible. فَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا قَالَهَا ضَحِكَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Because verily, one of you, whenever he yawns, if he says, oh, like that, making his mouth, oh, making that noise, ha, oh, like that, what happens? Shaitan laughs at him. Shaitan laughs at him. This is in Sahih Bukhari. In one wording of this hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا يَقُلْ هَا 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 هَا. Don't say that. فَإِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ يَلْحَقُ مِنْكَ. Because that's from shaitan. If you do that, he laughs at you. He laughs at you. So those people who yawn and they make that loud noise, oh, 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 like that, making that loud noise, huh? What happens at that time? Shaitan is laughing at them. Huh? Our enemy is laughing at us if we do that. So therefore, it's from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if we yawn, the first thing we try not to do it. If we feel like we have to yawn, what do? We repress the yawn, and we don't yawn. We stop it. We prohibit ourselves from yawning. Now, and if the yawn has to come, we don't make a noise. We don't make a noise. You understand that? We don't make a noise. So there are two things here that we learned from this narration so far. Now, and the first one is that if we have to yawn, what do? We repress it. Likewise, it has come from the same hadith, but in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَإِذَا تَثَأَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَقْضِمْ مَسْتَطَاءَ. That if one of you is going to yawn, then let him repress it as much as he can. And he stop himself from yawning as much as he can. طيب. But here we see, if he has to yawn, he does not make a noise. He does not make a noise. Oh, some people, they go to extremes and make big, loud noises. Yani, literally, this is something known. This is all from shaitan. And shaitan, he laughs at him whenever they do that. But there's something even more dangerous than that. There's something even more dangerous than that. And this has been narrated from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا تَثَأَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُمْسِكْ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى فِيهِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَدْخُلُ. He said, if one of you yawns, then let him put his hand on his mouth. Because verily shaitan will enter. Because verily shaitan will enter. Shaitan will enter his mouth and go inside of him. You know, some people, they get possessed by jinn. What does that mean? The jinn will come inside of them and make them talk and say things and talk to them and do bad things and make their mind very, very crazy and make them feel very, very strange and make them really, really, really bad and hurt them, literally. Shaitan can do that to people. But one of the ways that he does that is when people yawn and open their mouth, he'll go inside. He'll go inside. The jinn, the shayateen, they can go inside of a person and harm him like that. Do you understand that? This is very serious. Some of the people who do the ruqya, and who do the ruqya on the people who've been touched by jinn, who've been possessed by jinn, many times the jinn itself will tell them. They will tell him, I came inside when he was yawning. So how did you get in? What are you doing there? The people who give the ruqya, sometimes they'll talk to the jinn inside the person's body. And the jinn will say, whenever he yawned, I came inside. He opened his mouth. Like this. This is something that is known, that's been mentioned by the people of knowledge. So therefore, this is a great sunnah and guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to protect ourselves from the jinn again. So far we've seen many of the guidances that we have learned with regards to eating and entering the home and the likes like that, is to protect ourselves from shaitan and to protect our homes from shaitan. And also so that we do not imitate shaitan. Here we don't want shaitan to come inside of us and harm us, nor do we don't want him to laugh at us either. Who would like to do something and the person who does not even like them, he laughs at them? Who likes for the people who don't like them to laugh at them? That's not nice. We never want the enemy to laugh at us. So we shouldn't do anything like that. From that is yawning, open the mouth really big, like a lion, roar, like he's a big lion, yawning like this. This is not nice. This is not good manners, and it's dangerous. And it's dangerous. So from this we see, barakallahu fikum, that if somebody is going to yawn, if the yawn comes, the first thing, what do? They try to stop it. They try to stop it. Khalas, if they can't stop it, what do? At least they don't make a noise. Taib, also, and they do not open their mouth. Huh? And also they put their hand on their mouth. They put their hand on their mouth, like that. They cover their mouth. they cover them. Somebody has to have to yawn. If you can't do it, if you can't stop yourself from yawning, you at least cover your mouth and you don't make no noise. You don't make any noise. Huh? You don't open your mouth real big either, because that's how the noise comes. Huh? So we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we follow His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that there are things that go on around us that are from the affairs of the unseen, and from them, shaitan. And he has helpers. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from shaitan, and to keep us safe from his plots. And from the ways to do that is to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us success to follow him, and to grant us beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.